to live righteously. Time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. You would think that this would be the first time I've done this intro, but in fact, I have not. It's episode number 340, where one of my guests, I butchered his name, so we're recording it again so you guys didn't hear that. And the other one, he knows I do stuff like that. I'm joined today by Brandon Olive and Garrett Batty. We're talking about Out of Liberty, a film coming to the theaters September 13th, if you are so lucky. I know that it won't be everywhere, but we'll talk about how you can get Out of Liberty to come to your area and be able to see it. Garrett, good to see you again.
It's good to be here. Thanks so much.
Brandon, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
You
thanks
didn't
for
need to
us.
Wear a suit jacket, but I appreciate that you did. First timers, Garrett, same deal. He wore a suit jacket the first time, and you'll notice with his PJs, he got a lot more comfortable.
Okay, I'm taking it off. Here we go.
The music just started. Weird. I first started seeing the mass amount of trailers for Out of Liberty what seems like a couple of months ago. Is this a project being promoted in long form, gentlemen?
Yeah. We released a trailer back in February.
Is that what? Has it been that long?
And that was more of a, we called it a teaser.
Okay.
The idea was to kind of, start the conversation off with a spark. And then we stayed quiet until just about a week ago.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe it's just been the last week, because it doesn't seem like I can turn a computer on without being like, Out of Liberty. And it starts into the trailer. And I'm like, I'm going to go. Give me a minute. I'm going
like
to talk to him.
The sleeping dragon just woke up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
So Out of Liberty, what is it?
So it's our Western jailbreak thriller, a movie about Liberty Jail and, you know, a time period where the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints leaders are being held in Liberty Jail.
Uh-huh.
There's a mob outside that kind of is against them.
Sure.
And there's a jailer that's caught in the middle of it, the two. It's his story.
Oh, so that's the perspective we're going at this.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
all
unlike
right.
anything, any approach that's been told.
Is this the Liberty Jail at the pivotal time for Joseph Smith? Is that what we're talking about? Because Carthage obviously was where he was killed, but Liberty, also poignant.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because when I say, yeah, I'm making a jailbreak movie or a Liberty Jail movie, everyone always says, oh, that's kind of sad because that's when Joseph dies.
Yeah, and you're like, right. No, that's why
I'm making the movie. No, it's, yeah, so this is the Liberty Jail experience, you know, where kind of the story that we're a little bit familiar with, but we go deeper into kind of what's going on in the jailer's head and how that all worked out.
I love that you're treading lightly about this. Like, people that are members of the church don't, like, you're like, I don't want to spoil anything, but he prays and receives a revelation. It's like, yeah, we read it, Garrett. We know, we have the book. Sorry, we saw your notes.
You'd be surprised. Say Liberty Jail, and they say, oh, he gets shot.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. You're going to love the ending.
Yeah. I've had a lot of people say that to me.
Really?
Yeah, so this is you're playing Joseph, this is where he dies. And I said, no, that's Carthage.
Yeah.
And it surprises me how many people get that confused.
So let me understand. So you play the part of?
Joseph Smith.
Okay. All right. Man, we got a prophet in here, Garrett. Did you realize this?
I do realize that.
I'm going to come.
And Brandon's here with us, too.
Yeah. I'm going to come back to you.
He's over there.
I want to chat about this because one of our first episodes that we ever did was with another guy, and I think his name was Brandon as well. It's not you, but who played the prophet Joseph Smith.
Okay.
So let's sans the promoting of Out of Liberty for a second, and I want to just talk to you one-on-one as you're going to play the role of the prophet Joseph Smith. What is that like?
The experience is probably different than what most people are expecting to hear.
Uh-huh.
I didn't grow up with any knowledge of Joseph Smith. Certainly didn't grow up with any information, data, or knowledge of Liberty Jail.
Sure.
This was a story that I was completely unfamiliar with. And after I read it and realized what these men had gone through, 4 months, freezing temperatures, spoiled food, the mob mentality, the threats, the near death, the
inability, as I understand it, to even stand up, right?
The ceiling was so low that they could not stand straight up.
Right.
I mean, this is part of our history. This is part of American history.
Mm-hmm.
And I was genuinely, I was mad. I was mad that I had not known about this. I was mad that I wasn't taught about this. And Garrett, when he came to me, it just jumped out. And I said, this is something that everyone deserves to see and deserves to know about. And what's interesting is it's set in the 1830s. It's a period piece. It's a Western. But it's so relevant. Mm-hmm. It's so topical. And it totally encapsulates the current climate right now.
Are you trying to tell me that you think that there's religious persecution going on now? And
well, no, I would never say that.
That there's incivility among people and intolerance.
It's just the uses versus thems. Okay, it's okay. The divide. We see it everywhere. All you got to do is turn on the news. You see it. I was really excited, not only to be a small part of helping get this story out there, but to then step into the shoes of a man that I think so many people have looked up to and idolized. But he was an ordinary man, mm-hmm. that had extraordinary circumstances and an extraordinary life experience, extraordinary responsibility. And so to me, it was really approaching him as a person, as a human, as a man, and not necessarily idolizing him. Does it make sense?
Sure. It's completely foreign to me, as I was raised a member of the church, to try and contextualize what it would be like to not know of Joseph Smith, to not know of him as the prophet and restorer of the church and hold him in that regard. So no, I don't know exactly, but I understand what you're saying.
I was so ignorant to this culture, this religion. I was so ignorant to it that I thought Joseph Smith was Amish.
Oh. Really?
That's
really made it awkward the first day you showed up in wardrobe.
Yeah. You're like, he had a full beard but no mustache. It was the strangest thing.
Yeah. Sorry. No, it's all about understanding. It's all about leaning in so as to understand and not judge and not project and not be biased.
Yeah.
And to really understand what it's like. And I walked away from, it is a beautiful movie. It's a great story. But no matter what happens with it, I feel like I'm the one who gets to walk away with so much from it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was neat to be able to see and discuss with you even before, before we started filming and anything like that. I just remember that first meeting, sitting with you and kind of hearing your take after reading the script. I got, okay, Brandon sees this, like this Joseph Smith character that is sometimes so difficult for us to see the human side of him.
Right.
Brandon sees him as that. And I love that. It was eye-opening for me to go, oh, well, now I can understand maybe other people's perspective a little bit more and portray that on film. It was awesome.
And also timely for the particular story that we were talking about. We're talking about 4 months of deprivation.
Right.
Oh God, where art thou?
Yeah.
Right? So this is a man who is without, seemingly without, right? And has to kind of find a deeper belief, a deeper faith. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's tough to talk about because when you're talking with people who grew up in this, there's so much data and information and so much influence that you guys have. And so I'm trying to be as respectful as I can with
sure.
it. But at the same time, I was able to, I think, see it from that perspective of, and leaning into what it truly is to be down there with everyone looking towards you and you feel like you don't know.
Right, right. You know, it's probably obvious, but it's worth the question, and that's what I do is ask questions.
Uh-huh.
Then you are not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I am an actor.
Okay.
I knew I was going to be asked this question. I'm glad you asked it. No, I'm not.
Right.
I'm not. But my wife grew up here. That's how we ended up here.
Okay.
And so her extended family, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, they are.
Sure.
We're not. And I've kind of been so curious for so long and was just waiting for the opportunity to kind of immerse and dive in.
Yeah.
And Garrett was able to do that for me. So I feel closer to them now.
Sure.
As a result of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Because you're able to empathize certainly
it's
on
empathy.
Some level. It's also
yeah.
understanding. And in some ways it's just knowledge, right? I don't know what they mean when they say this or what they're even talking about, and it's through
just,
some of this.
It's just widening your perspective just enough to bring us closer together as opposed to the divide.
Yeah.
Which, consequently, I mean, that's part of the theme of the film. I mean, that's really what it is. It's like kind of these, hey, these guys were believing in one way, and the mob, that we often portray them as a mob, uh-huh. You know, it's a group of residents in Liberty,
sure,
that are believing another way.
No, but it's better for the pictures if it's like pitchforks and torches and like,
yeah, the uneducated, unread stuff.
The one scene with the guy with no teeth, it's like, well, get it.
But even the sheriff played by Jason Wade, Tillery, you know, he had his preconceived cognitive dissonance and bias around the Mormon people, but you get to see his journey. You get to see his widening of his perspective, if you will, and moving closer to maybe understanding and accepting, and ultimately getting all of the BS out of the way and saying what's right, right versus wrong.
Take a quick aside to let people know that Jason Wade, who's been here in the Cultural Hall before, episode 232, if you want to listen to that, he's in films like 17 Miracles. I'm trying to think of other ones that would be catch-alls. He was in one of the
Cokeville
Saints and
Miracle.
Soldiers. Cokeville Miracle.
He's in Love, Kennedy right now. That's kind of a big
So you'll recognize him, certainly. And then also in this film, since we've stopped down the show for just a quick second, Corbin Allred. Who early on, an old high school mate of mine.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Did you go to high school with Corbin Allred?
We used to lift weights together. I mean, when he came back from L.A.
He's one of those guys. Corbin Allred is one of those names that you say and everybody says, oh, you know, he's my nephew's ward.
Sure,
or
sure.
We went to high school together. Or he's had 200 mission companions.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I bet people from L.A. go, oh, no, Corbin. Yeah, we used to hang out. And I'm like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. He was in episode 61, so you can check that out. I'll provide a link with that to this episode so you guys can check that out as well.
Do you know everyone that's been in every episode?
I had some time before you guys got here to do a little research, but mostly.
I'm impressed.
I also keep track of that because, and we'll take a break here in a second, but this is the time where I come at Garrett because I was watching the credits and I watched the trailer and I noticed I myself being an actor not in this film, it was the strangest thing. So what do you have to say for yourself?
Once again, I would certainly get on the phone with your agent right now and question them.
Yeah. Like I said in my Facebook message to you, I'd have to hire one in order to fire one.
I think that's our answer.
It's like I was telling my friend TC, you know, TC Christensen, in case, you know, if you need to be let in on who that is.
I've heard.
With his film, The Fighting Preacher, I said, hey, you know what? Give me a line. Give me a one day. I don't need to say anything. Just let me be a part of it. I want to create it. And this is my own personal interest, obviously. I want to be the Easter egg in Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saint films,
you
right?
You want to be the Clint Howard.
I just want to be in it for a second.
The Stanley.
And that's it. In the trailer for that film, I know, I digress. If you blink, you'll literally miss me. If you go see the film, I'm on the set and in the film itself for all of about half a second. But that's all I want. I don't want to memorize a thing. I don't want to be there for 3 weeks, depending on what you're paying. So next time, look at me. I'm looking at you. I'm my own agent. We'll just lock this down. Is that cool?
I love it. Okay. I want people to see the next movie we make.
Yep.
And they're going to look at the movie and say, oh, that's the guy from Fighting Preacher right there.
I definitely am on board with this cameo
approach. See?
But I think you should put it in your contract that you get a split second in the trailer as well.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll write that in. Let's take a break for a quick second, gentlemen. When we come back in the second block, we'll continue with the experience of playing the Prophet Joseph Smith and putting this all together, where it was shot, and the significance of why are we telling this story. It's in a book. I've read the book. Why are we making a movie out of it? We'll do that in the second block of the Cultural Hall. I want to take a quick second and talk to you about Best DJ in Utah now in its second year. Last year, I went to Washington, to Roche Harbor, and did a gorgeous wedding. This year, I'm slated to go to Moab, to go to Denver to do weddings. And guys, it couldn't be going any better. Thanks in large part to folks like yourself, people who are listening to this and say, you know what, I need a wedding or a mobile DJ for something, and then reach out to me. You can go to bestdjinutah.com. You can find me on all of the social medias at Richie T. Stedman, or you can certainly just send me an an email. Richie, R-I-C-H-I-E-T as in tough guy, Stedman, S-T-E-A-D-M-A-N at gmail.com. I would love to see what I could do to make your event that much better. Whether it's a party or the biggest day of your life, you need the best DJ in Utah. And like I said, it doesn't have to be in Utah. It can just be the best DJ in Utah. I don't know. Now we start to get into like the technical things. It's bestdjinutah.com.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Here in the second block of the Cultural Hall, please, if you are not, take a second and consider being a Patreon subscriber to the Cultural Hall. You can go to patreon.com/thecultural hall. And you know, funny enough, gentlemen, that is my guests, Garrett and Brandon, Jason Wade, a Patreon subscriber of the Cultural Hall.
Is that right?
He loves it so much, he gives us a little bit of money every month and says thank you for what you do. So,
oh, good on him.
I don't want to, you know, I'm not drawing comparisons in character, but
he has a great jawline.
He's been in TC movies, so he can afford that.
So he can afford it. Yeah, perfect. If you're listening, we'd love to have you do that. We'll start increasing the incentives for you that are part of that Patreon subscription. You automatically get part of a sacred Facebook group that we talk about all things, not typically the episodes that we release, but all sorts of other things around it. So check it out. It's patreon.com/thecultural hall. Brandon Olive, what other stuff have you done that people might have ever seen you in?
I've been doing this for years. Uh-huh. I think, I've done probably close to 50 films or TV shows.
Okay.
Most of the times it's people don't recognize.
Sure.
I worked with Steven Soderbergh on Mosaic. I played Dick Andreessen, the district attorney. Also got to work with him on Logan Lucky.
Cool. That was a great film.
It was.
Oh my gosh.
That was such an experience too. I've worked with Tyler Perry. I've done shows like NCIS, CSI New York.
Have you done Law and Order SVU? That's
no.
My jam. Will you do the Law and Order SVU?
Just for you, yes. Absolutely.
Did you guys see that? I can't remember what award show it was within the last couple years, but since it's a film or a TV show that films in New York, one of the actors that was nominated for like Best Actor or something like that, as a comedic effect, they showed all the different special appearances that he'd been on Law and Order SVU, and he'd been on like 9 different times. Like he was the bad guy, was the judge.
I think there's like a seven, or there was. I don't know if there is anymore, but like a 7-year rule where you could guest star.
Uh-huh.
In one role, and then 7 years later, come back in another role.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite things to do is to see if you recognize someone, if you're a fan and you've watched the life of
that long. So great. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Do other actor friends, you sort of alluded to this, but I would be curious, when you're like, hey, I'm going to do this Out of Liberty film. It's a, you know, it's a film about Joseph Smith. Do people give you some flack about it?
Oh, yeah. No, they all think I'm Mormon.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just kind of that's what happens.
It's not so bad.
He's up in Utah. Playing Joseph Smith. He's Mormon. Those that, you know, maybe know me a little bit better, uh-huh, or talk to me a little bit more in depth, they get it. It's, you know, that's our job. Our job is to lean in a lot of different ways and a lot of different avenues, and a lot of different perspectives, and to really just to fulfill that insatiable curiosity of understanding, right, what it's like to be a human being that's interested in all humans who are being, if that makes sense.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting for me because, and hopefully you're willing to go here and talk about this a little bit, but I would think that on a film of this import and this significance, that let me think of the way I want to phrase this.
Just go for it.
There would be opportunities that that there would be spiritual experiences. Like Mormons, sorry, I know Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Garrett, you made a very good point to say that at the beginning.
Sorry, but, I should probably start.
You've done great.
But that's also like 30 seconds, and since I don't edit these things, people are like, we get it, it's Mormons. that the Mormons don't have the market on spiritual experiences, on, you know, feeling close to the ultimate or whatever. So were there those kind of like spiritual moments as you were creating this film?
Absolutely. There, the cast and crew, I mean, Garrett surrounded himself and subsequently all of ourselves with, it's hard to explain. It's really hard to articulate.
I'm going
to
ask you to try.
But yeah, I will try. It was an experience in and of itself. Yeah. Yes. With that said, the creative process of being an actor is also, I would say, close and can be close to a spiritual experience as well, because essentially you're curbing your humanity and lending yourself out to try and understand someone else's. So you're vulnerable, you're open, you're searching, you're curious, you're doing your best not to judge and accept and keep asking the questions. And when you do that, you start falling further and further into that rabbit hole, if you will, of immersion. And without a doubt, this was a spiritual experience. Yeah.
Do you strive to have those opportunities on set, or do they just happen, Garrett?
I think just by the nature of the work and the nature of the story that we're telling. I mean, we did a similar situation with Freetown, a movie we made in Africa, and cast a variety of different, believers, and had, you know, the lead actor was certainly unfamiliar with missionary work and the church, and, you know, during a couple of the scenes, he's in tears, just offset in tears, feeling a feeling that, again, we don't have the monopoly on that, but just the nature of the story lends itself to inviting that.
And when you're surrounded by people who are there in a loving way, then it feels like it almost facilitates that energy too. Does it? Everyone that was there was having their own kind of experience as well, and everyone was aware of it, and so the environment really facilitated it. And we did a lot of things, you know, like Joseph. As an actor, you don't always get to play people who really existed.
Yeah, which is what I was going to ask you next.
And when you do, there's a certain sense of weighted responsibility there.
Yeah.
And so you only have the time that you have to prepare, so what are you going to do with it? And I was lucky enough to have Garrett and some other friends, Rob York, come with me and help me talk to people, reach out to people. I met with one of the apostles. We talked.
The apostles from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
Those are the 12.
Yeah, one
I mean, other people have apostles, but what was that experience like? Wait a minute. And why wasn't I there with a microphone?
I love that he just kind of throws that out there.
It was amazing.
Yeah, I know. He's like, no, doesn't everyone get to meet an apostle? No, I don't really get that chance.
And I actually had a moment where I saw the prophet leaving that meeting.
Okay,
and
all right,
I froze.
Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
How did this come about? What was the story here?
This is a cool story, and it's from Rob. You know Rob York. I think you've had him on the...
Have not.
Check episode 249. Okay. I think that's
smart,
what it
Alex.
Is.
241 coming up.
Yeah.
No, but I won't tell you. Brandon, you got to...
So Rob actually had the contact. I believe it was his mission president, who's now an apostle.
Which apostle is it?
Oh, man. You're going to ask me that.
Elder Stevens.
Elder Stevens.
Elder Stevens. Stevenson. Elder Stevenson. Absolutely.
Elder Stevenson. Can you edit that?
Yeah. I won't, but I could.
Without a doubt, it was Elder Stevenson.
Yeah, I know it was Elder Stevenson.
Shout out to Elder Stevenson. Sorry, bud. But he was kind enough to meet with me, and I was just gung-ho. I was not going to take no for an answer. I needed to get as close as I could to understanding as much as I could before we started shooting. And that led into, I got to meet with a private collector who had Joseph's hair, journals, the first Book of Mormon that was handed to his little brother, his sibling, as the first missionary.
Huh.
And I got to see these tangible artifacts. I got to see his penmanship. I got to see his writing. I got to see his words, his verbiage. I got to see the color of his hair.
Yeah, the lock of his hair.
Which we matched.
You showed me pictures. You know, here I am trying to direct this movie and make it authentic and hoping that everybody prepares, you know. And, hey, what'd you read? And, hey, maybe Brandon will read the Book of Mormon. That could be interesting. Right. And he comes back with, you know, that and more.
He comes back like 5 minutes late. You're like, where have you been? Yeah. Sorry, Elder Stevenson was a talker, and I had to meet with this private collector to check out all these cool things.
These are experiences that any member of the church would just dream about. And Brandon's like, well, there's that, and then I got to go do this. And I don't want to downgrade what your experience. It was positive there, but it was exciting for me to be able to see that.
Oh, and I'd never had people pray for me or over me like how they did through this whole experience. That was loving. Yeah. That was new. That was, I mean, so much respect, so much love, so much perspective gained. Like I said, I'm forever in debt to Garrett and this experience because I feel like I'm the one who's walking away from it. A changed man for the better, yeah.
It's such a fascinating thing because when I think of church films throughout the time, whenever there's someone who plays the prophet Joseph Smith, I can almost base whether or not I'm going to like the film based on whoever Joseph is played by, right? Like I think of when I was watching the Jane Manning James. Why can't I think of what that?
Yeah, Jane and Emma.
Jane and Emma, right? The Joseph Smith character there, a completely different kind of portrayal. When you think of like the first vision Joseph from the 1980s, like there's a whole kind of different portrayal there. It will be fascinating as Out of Liberty makes its way into theaters on the 13th of September to see how you match up to what they think that he looks like, to how they think he would act.
The story of how it came to be, in hindsight, it was as if it was meant to be because shout out to Jane and Emma for not hiring me as Joseph Smith because they were this close.
Oh, really? Okay, so let's talk about that.
And they went with the other guy. Had they done that, I guarantee you I wouldn't have played Joseph Smith in this. So this happened the way it was supposed to happen, I guess. Huh. And only in hindsight are you able to look back and say, oh, that makes sense. But yeah, it's...
Have you had anyone yet, I mean, obviously with the film not really being out, but where people are like, I thought Joseph would be taller or his nose is bigger, that, you know, those kind of things where you're like, okay, well, like, give me a chance.
And Brandon and I talked about that at length, you know, just that initial sit down and say, hey, what are we going to do? I mean, they're physical. And we realized, I discovered at least, and I don't know how Brandon felt about it, everybody has their own perception of Joseph Smith.
Yeah. 100%.
And their own perception of Nephi and their own perception of whatever it is. Everybody does. And no matter what we do, I will never, ever, ever be able to match everybody's perception.
Right.
What I could match and what I saw in Brandon was the humanity. Uh-huh. I'm like, oh, I get it. He's an actor portraying this character. But of all the options out there, Brandon brought this level of like realness, this authenticity. I'm like, this guy could look like a clown. Huh. And I would see Joseph Smith to a certain extent.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know the picture, the famous painting of them in the window looking out?
Absolutely.
And they're clean shaven.
Uh-huh.
And their clothes are perfect.
Yes.
What we did is the realistic version of that. Hmm. They were there for 4 months, unkempt, starving, sick, freezing. There's no way they look like that.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And we actually took a picture of all of us and... And to me, that kind of embodies the experience.
We framed it up. We framed up that painting, uh-huh. the great painting. It's
you're going to have to share this picture with me.
We'll share it with you.
Okay.
And then our bearded guys, we got Brandon Olive and Adam Johnson and, Danny James and everybody else that's in this prison, and framed it exactly like the picture. And we go, okay, that's the glossy version.
Sure.
And this is the authentic version.
Yeah. It's funny to me as I think about that and think through, and especially once the film is released and people go see it opening weekend so that it continues to go well and can grow to bigger theaters. I know, Garrett. I got
Thanks.
This.
You got the
I
pitch.
Got this game. Yeah. They can go to outofliberty.com to request it to come to their community, but that's a diatribe. That people will likely be like, Joseph wasn't that handsome. Like they really will, like it will be, you know, there will be some that are just like,
absolutely. And I, and to me, that's great.
Yeah.
Because we've started the conversation.
Yes.
And that's all that we can ask for. It's not for me. It's for Garrett. And then when Garrett releases it, it's not for him anymore. It's for the audience. It's whatever they want to talk about. And if they're talking and they're criticizing,
It's great.
It's great.
But I just think it's so funny that we're like, he was taller. Or the daguerreotypes would let me know that he would be not nearly as handsome as you are. And it's like,
okay. And that plays right into what he said. Everyone has a 100% definitive perspective and perception of Joseph Smith, right?
Yeah.
And you're not going to change that.
Yeah, no, it's not our goal to change that or to say, hey, this is the definitive Joseph Smith.
We're saying, it's just a version.
This is a version. And we even call that out in the film. You know, there's a Joseph meets one of the jailers. You know, he says, I thought you'd be taller. You know, and Joseph responds, yeah, there's a lot of stories out there. Yeah, that's true. Everybody has their story.
And then you turn to the camera and you like tip your cap.
And then you see the behind the scenes photos and I'm standing on an apple box.
Yeah, we wished he were taller too.
Yeah, we tried.
It really worked out with that low ceiling for me.
We went to IMDb and searched this height of actors. Couldn't find anyone, so we got Brandon. Let's take a break. And when we come back in the third block of the Cultural Hall, I want to talk about why we're doing this. Don't we have enough church films? Why are we doing this one in particular? We'll do that coming back in the third block of the Cultural Hall.
Consumer alert! Consumer alert! Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. There's an extremely insane computer infection called Zeus Zbot, infecting hundreds of thousands of computers across the world. This infection is super malicious because it puts you in danger by recording every keystroke you make into your computer, stealing your confidential information, including your banking passwords. You could be infected and never know until you have all your money sucked out of your bank account. At PC Laptops, we can help. If you think you've been infected or just want to be safe, please bring in your PC, no matter what brand it is, into any one of our locations right now, and we'll scan it for free. Why are we doing this for free? Because we want to impress you so much that if you or any of your friends need a computer, service, or phone repair, you come to PC Laptops first. Get into any one of our locations right now or check us out at PCLaptops.com. PC Laptops, where computers start at $7.99. PC Laptops, we love you!
Here in the third block of the Cultural Hall, please, if you are not following us on the social medias, take a second, whatever your social media of choice is, your drug of choice, if it's Facebook, if it's Twitter, if it is the Instagram, if it's Pinterest, we're there on all of them. You can find our Google Plus page, which I find I've promoted more in the last like week than ever before. I don't think we've ever done anything on it. I don't think there's anyone on there, but it's fun to say Google Plus and then see if anyone goes to it. So it's at the Cultural Hall, wherever you're at, and then you can find us online at theculturalhall.com. And you can always contact us if you have questions, guest suggestions, or things that you'd like to come at me or our guests for. It's contact@theculturalhall.com. So why are we doing this? Why, out of liberty, what are we doing here? Why don't we have enough?
Do we have enough church films?
Yeah.
that's for the audience to decide, I guess. No, man, this is an amazing story.
You had to have more of a vision than like, well, maybe they'll like it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a great question. And first of all, this is not a church film. I've never seen this as a church film. I've always wanted to do a Western.
Uh-huh.
I've always wanted to do kind of some, guns and horses and...
Stop real quick. Is there spaghetti in this movie?
There's no spaghetti. Okay. The food was pretty rancid right here.
Okay, all right. But so no, it's not your ultimate dream.
It's not quite a spaghetti Western.
Yeah.
But it feels just like a movie that Hollywood would be interested in and put out, and that's why I was attracted to it.
Well, it's storytelling, and that's what I think is different. I'll be 100% honest with you. I forgot about Freetown. Not that I forgot about the experience that I had. I forgot that you were related to and you know, the one who was behind that. And I just remember the feeling coming out of that. Saratov?
Yeah.
Saratov?
Uh-huh.
Depends on which part of Utah County you're from. That's how you pronounce it.
Sarata?
I mean, that also is a story of characters. It happens to be sort of set within the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but it's not a Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints film.
Yeah, no, and it wasn't when CNN did the coverage of the event. Mm-hmm. And I think in the 1830s, this would have been covered by whatever CNN would have been back then.
Right.
And it's just a national story. And to be able to put it on film, felt like, hey, this would be interesting to an audience that I have access to.
Yeah.
But it'll go much broader than that.
So what was it that drew you to a Western? Just your boyish intrigue for a Western?
Yeah, they're just fun. They're just, for me, I've enjoyed watching those, and those are fun to, you know, fun to dress up and shoot guns and ride horses. And this, to find this kind of church history story, but that fit within, very well within that, you know, frontier world, that was
exciting
to me.
That's the art. And then from my perspective, I look at Garrett and I'm like, he's an artist.
Yeah.
Because it means something to him. It's grounded in this foundational principle of faith, but also in his creative expression as a director. So it's kind of an alchemy of everything that means something to him.
One of the things too, Richie, as far as why this particular story, maybe this doesn't answer your question, but it's something I want to say. So I'm
gonna do it. I'm going to go ahead and turn your microphone off, but go ahead. No, you're fine.
No, but as I was looking at the story, just the relevancy of, like, and maybe we've already talked about this, but the mob mentality.
Sure.
Like the right to be able to disagree with somebody and to be able to have that right. That's what both sides of this thing were fighting for. Mm-hmm. And they both felt their rights were infringed upon. And that is so relevant today. It's like, I'll do a post and, you know, get lots of people that disagree, and they have that right. And I love that idea that they can do that.
They
and
all
they're not
going to
come
shoot
me for that post.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Right. And so now, we're getting to the point where our liberty is running out, where we say, hey, I'm going to do a post and suddenly I'm going to lose friends or lose something greater. Mm-hmm. You know, think, oh, well, let's be reminded of there's the great celebration of liberty is that we are free to disagree.
Right.
There it is. Artist.
I know. Hashtag this guy.
Hashtag.
So the thing that is particularly impactful about what you just said is, think about how this story ends from both sides thinking that they're right. And then apply that to how today's society is. And I mean, what that could mean in today's society, obviously, you know, we're not going to, or you would hope that you wouldn't have that mob mentality that would lead to the death eventually. I know it's not at Liberty, it's at Carthage, but to the death of a religious leader. But what would that mean in today's society?
Yeah, well, I think without having a lot of time to think about that question, I think it's continuing.
Yeah.
I think certainly, yes, there's the death of Prophet. And if you're asking that question from the basis of the side of, you know, Latter-day Saints versus those that are not, you know, those that believe differently or oppose it, the story continues. Like, we're still kind of having that disagreement. And I love that. Like, we're free to do that. And as long as we don't infringe upon that right, then that's what we'll continue to fight for. One of the anthems of the film is "Liberty is worth the fight," and it obviously plays on the name of the jail, or the official name of the jail is not Liberty, but it exists, right? Liberty is worth the fight, and I'm willing to have a civil discourse with you and disagree with you, just because that to me shows how far we continue to be able to.
And I think
to celebrate that freedom.
And you're challenging people's perspective. You're challenging their worldview. You're challenging their limited world, because we're all limited.
Sure.
We're all limited to our experiences and our beliefs that we assign to the thoughts about our experiences, right? But now when you tell something that's not, it's not a church film.
Right.
It's a film.
Right.
It's a movie. It's a story that actually is grounded on actual events.
Right.
It's a true story. And when you do that, I think what happens, at least to someone like me from my perspective, is you start to think or question, what if that hadn't happened?
Right.
And then you can have this reimagining of, like, for instance, the reimagining of, what if Joseph wasn't killed in Carthage? What if? And when you start to explore that side of the alternative perspective, if you, or the reimagining of it, then you start to understand the weight of how, religion aside, that man gets in man's own way.
Right. And that's actually when I was speaking about like the application into modern day, I wasn't even thinking of like members of the church and those who would either persecute or just not be members of the church. I was looking at a scope from the whole world. So I'm excited for the opportunity to be able to see like, how does this apply to the way I behave within my own home, to my community, to my church community, to the state which I live in, and then, you know, the responsibility and opportunities within the nation that I live. That's cool.
It is a cool story. It's very much, we talked about this on set a lot, it's very much an origin story.
Yeah.
You know, you get these guys that are in there, not necessarily sure who they all are yet. You know, what are they about to face over the next 10 years of progress of their mission?
And labeled as enemies of the state, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's kind of, they all, Elder Holland talks about they left Liberty Jail changed men.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, oh, well, this is the origin story of that. And so we get to see them understand each other better.
Couple last questions before I kick you guys out of here, because I know you got other stuff. I know you got things. You got stuff to do, other things, places to go. I don't actually have any idea what you're doing. But did you get a chance, or did you film it at the actual Liberty Jail? Did you get a chance to go? Did you film it there?
That's a good question.
That's a great question. No, the actual Liberty Jail doesn't exist. It's a rebuilt museum piece in a building. And so it would not have functioned well for us.
It's an interesting thing, huh?
Yeah. I was just out there 2 weeks ago. I went there with my family, you know, prior to releasing the movie. I should go there. And it is. It's powerful to go there and see. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say it's an interesting experience because you hear about this and you think, I should be able to go to this place. Well, it doesn't exist anymore. But then the fact that it is that museum piece within a building, you kind of go, all right.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's a tremendous spirit. The missionaries who are there do an amazing job about being able to put you in the time and in the place, and you get the feel for what it is. But it, again, like what you think the Prophet Joseph would look like, you kind of, you know, this musty, dark thing, and then you first find out, hey, this doesn't exist anymore, and then second of all, you go, and this is what we have that sort of symbolizes it, and you're like, okay, well, that's different than I had in my head.
Yeah. Yeah, right, but I think that the visual aid of that there really helps us feel the power of that experience.
Absolutely,
and I tried to get there. Did I tell you?
Did you really?
Before the movie, Gabe was helping me. We were trying to get out there. There just wasn't enough time, and then I found out that it was a museum set up. And
yeah, it's powerful. We did research though at length the dimensions of the jail, and ended up building a set. In Utah,
to scale,
it was pretty, you know, the same dimensions, the same ceiling height, and you know, made it as real and authentic as we could.
You would have to,
yeah,
in order to be able to feel it. I also like that Brandon referenced Gabe, who we have not talked to, who has not been a part of this, but apparently there's a fourth person here in the room. His name is Gabe. He's sitting in the corner, and if anyone wonders who Gabe is, that's who Gabe.
Shout
is.
Out to Gabriel Vasquez.
What's up, Gabe? What up, Gabe? Gentlemen, what is the big takeaway from you, whether it's something that you maybe learned about the Prophet Joseph and how it could impact your life, whether it's something about the story, whether it's something about the crew and the working? What's your big takeaway from this experience? I'll let that kind of settle until I can tell one of you are ready to answer. Brandon's ready.
For me, I mean, there's so much, and depending on the day of the week, I'm probably going to have a different answer, but the loving kindness that I experienced, the discipline involved in the personal sacrifice that people make on a daily basis to be better for one another. That's probably what I got out of it, is the one another. It's about other. It's about being of service.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, you know, I can only hope that this movie is able to reach people in a way that surmises what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like that it's able to bring people together collectively, because that was the experience I had, which is really fascinating because I haven't seen a lot of people since we made the movie,
yeah,
which kind of is life imitating art because everyone left.
Dispersed.
Yeah. And, but if I did, it would be nothing but love and nothing, you know,
yeah.
Constant motion, but motion towards the betterment of self, but not for self, for all others.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
100%. All right, Garrett.
I think Brandon summed up that wonderfully. I think one of my takeaways, I don't know if I could say the biggest, but this moment of realization, as I was making the film and kind of researching it, we're telling this through the perspective of the jailer, right? And we often have, growing up in the church, portrayed the jailer as you know, the toothless hillbilly that has a gun.
Yeah, quiet
guy.
It in there.
And I found his, I found
not
his obituary.
He's got a great jawline. Now.
Yeah, he's a great jawline. Yeah, Jason Wade as the toothless hillbilly. I found his obituary. And it's the...
Not Jason Wade, to be clear.
Not Jason Wade. Sorry, guys. Yeah. The jailer's obituary, and it talks about what a great man he is. Huh. You know, he left his family. You know, he died and left his daughter and said he was a valuable member of the community and a good citizen. And I think, wait, that's different than everything I've read or perceived about him. And maybe there's a little bit more to this story than that. Huh. And I think outsiders, let's see, people that don't know about Joseph Smith might read one thing.
Right.
Hey, and so that's
my
big takeaway.
And then assume they know all the other blanks filled in. Right?
Yeah, is just take a step back and let's understand the humanity of everybody in this situation and then try to move forward from there.
And that's going to highly influence my answer, which is to, I'm going to extend on just a tad. It's about humanity.
Yeah.
It's about all humans, right? Righteousness aside, dogma religion aside, us as thems aside, left, right aside. Does it make sense? And we're all in this together and we're all going through stuff and we're not meant to do it alone. And so there is a, for me at least, a collectiveness that comes out of this, the humanity of it. And to have someone like Garrett, who is highly influenced and on the presence of everything from childhood up until now, to be willing to take that risk, to go to someone like me to play Joseph, to reimagine this in a way that speaks to his authentic interpretation of it, right? That's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, we have someone right here who's doing that. And because of that, he and I, on seemingly opposing ends, right, are able to work together and we get closer.
Yeah.
And if we can do it, anyone can do it.
Yeah. I was thrilled Brandon would do this, that you'd say, okay, I know this is a, you know, we know the genre, we know kind of where these films land. And yet,
well, you were smart. You were like, I'm making a Western.
Elevator.
I'm making a Western.
Yeah,
don't worry about it. I'm making a Western.
We ask everyone who steps into the cultural hall three questions. Two of those I don't suppose will apply to you, Brandon, but I'll ask you them just because if you don't do things out of tradition and because, you know, that's what you always do. Forget it. Okay. First question. Do you have a calling right now? And if so, what is it?
Yes, I'm in the Sunday school president.
Okay, are you really? How do you have time for that?
We'll talk they're about very that. Under, different... Yeah, another yeah. episode.
do you participate in a worship service and do you function in any sort of role there?
I have a calling. My calling is to be of service to anyone and everyone, especially my wife and children. Love you guys.
And cool. He magnifies that calling brilliantly.
Awesome. If you could pick a calling for yourself, either one that exists or make one up, what would you pick?
I'd say what Brandon's calling is.
Yeah.
What a great response.
Yeah. Be a better daddy. Be a better husband. Every
How many
day.
Kids you got?
Three.
Nice. Good
yeah,
for you.
Just, we just had our third.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you.
And Garrett's got like 30, so we don't need
he
to
really
ask
does.
About that. I know. It's like, is that another baddie kid?
It's a whole LDS community.
Keep them coming. I need an audience.
Then the last, the I need an audience. Until I can fill up a theater with my family. call. The last question we ask everyone who steps in the cultural hall, and interpret this however you will, but what is your favorite part of your faith?
Wow. Yeah, I'm glad you let me interpret that as I will, because that's a broad question. I love the openness of my faith.
Specifically, what do you mean?
Accepting people for what they want to bring and what they want to believe, and and requesting that same right from them.
Nice. Brandon?
Can you say the question again?
What is your favorite part of your faith?
My favorite part of my faith is being allowed to continually question so as to seek more out of curiosity, to understand that there's always more to understand. There's always more for us to understand here on this planet, but also for us to understand with one another.
I love it. The film is called Out of Liberty. It comes in the theaters the 13th of September. You can request it to come to your area by going to outofliberty.com. I presume there's probably a newsletter or something you can subscribe to as well. Get all the things sent to you. And then you can find out why walking away from this experience that Garrett Batty and Brandon Olive are changed men, just like those that they portray in the film. We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body, and that if you're not healthy enough to listen this week, that you'll be healthy enough to listen next week, and that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat, it's sure to be neat. On the back row, we really gotta go on the Cultural Hall show.